1 Corinthians 15:10, we've been there for the past 3 weeks. This is number four. The me that grace is producing. Paul writes, "But I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace towards me was not in vain. But on the contrary, I labored harder than any of them, though it was not I, but grace, the grace of God that is with me." By way of review, quickly over the past 3 weeks, I just want to say that this verse is one of the most wonderful, power-filled verses in the New Testament, yet one of the most misunderstood, just simply the way it's interpreted. I am what I am by the grace of God. The wrong way to interpret it is to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. In other words, I am what I am, and God's grace is cool with that, and you've got a problem with it, you need to take it up with God. God's grace allows me to be this way. That's not what Paul is saying. Instead, what Paul is saying is, I am what I am by the grace of God. What grace is making me, that is the me that I am. I reach forward to the throne of God, and I apprehend, I lay hold of the me that grace is producing. That's the me that I claim to be. Hallelujah. For John writes in John chapter 1 in verse 16 and 17, "But the law was given by Moses. However, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Law given by Moses diagnosed our sin, but the grace and truth that Jesus brings healed us. Hallelujah. What sin took out, grace put back in. Sin separated, but grace connects, bringing us back into fellowship with God. Can you say praise the Lord? So really, grace is the power to be more. It's not permission to be less or even to stay the same. Grace does meet us where we are in our inabilities and our failures and our dysfunction, but it doesn't leave us there. Once grace enters our life and gets a hold of it, it presses us forward. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, because grace took hold of me, I labored harder than all of them. And this great fruit that has been produced in my life, I could have never attained by myself, but it was grace working in me. So when you receive the grace of God, when you're born again, grace is not the finished work. Like I have said before, it's not like a spray shellac that God sprays over you and frozen in time in the dysfunction or the failure that you've been. God says, it's okay, I've sprayed you with grace. You're going to heaven, you're sealed up with grace. Now you're perfect. But grace is not the finished work. However, grace is the power to finish the work. So we need to let grace work in our life, and we need to understand why grace is in our life and cooperate with that purpose. So through the power of grace, God intends us to be infinitely more the person of fruit than we were of dysfunction when we were in sin. Paul said, you know, however messed up I was as a sinner, I have become infinitely more the instrument for righteousness because of grace that is in me. And so now today, part four in that message, I want to preach about the grace race. You know, I know pastors and preachers, evangelists, they all love this rolling rhetoric. And I have to say that I'm not above it myself. The grace race, it just sort of sticks with you. But good, you'll think about that, the grace race. The race that I'm in is a race that is empowered by the grace of God. So when the Bible talks about a walk, we all talk about, I have a walk with the Lord. How's it going with your walk? The scripture uses that terminology, that analogy, the walk. But when the Bible talks about our walk with Jesus, it's really talking about the individual steps we're taking, like a snapshot in time. It's emphasizing where you're at in the moment that you're taking that step, and it talks about how to walk. However, the Bible also talks about us running a race. Not just a walk, but it talks about us as being in a race. And when the Bible talks about us running our race, it's not referring to the individual steps, but it's referring to the goal that God has set before us. You see, you could be walking anywhere without necessarily having a goal, but you can't be in a race without a goal. The very concept of a race implies that there is a goal. If there were not a goal that you were aimed at, a goal you had before you as a vision, it wouldn't be a race, it would just be running around. And how many of you know sometimes Christians just run around? Hallelujah. But God wants us in the race. There is a race that is set before us. Is that not right? And that comes from Hebrews chapter 12, where in verse 1 and 2, the author writes, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See the emphasis on there being a course that is set before you. It's not just your walking, but the race that is set before us. Let us run it with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated down at the right hand of the throne of God. So grace always looks at the goal ahead. Grace is not permission to relax. Grace is power to press forward. We misunderstand grace. We feel that when grace comes into our life, oh, God has forgiven us. It's sweet relief. I'm relieved of the condemnation. I just feel that grace has made me to rest and to relax in the Lord. But grace really is not an attitude of relaxation. Instead, it's an aptitude. You know what an aptitude is? An aptitude is a natural talent or a natural skill, a natural power that is within you. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive grace. Grace is not an attitude, it's an aptitude. It is a power in you to urge you forward, not to relax because you're forgiven, but to move forward because you're forgiven. Hallelujah. And to become that person you never were able to be because of your fault. So it's God's paternal love, that fatherly paternal love, working in you the ability to progress beyond your faults. It just does not rest you in an attitude of acceptance in spite of your faults, but it's a power that works in you to rise beyond your faults. Never be satisfied that God has an attitude towards you of acceptance. Always understand that grace is there with that attitude of love and acceptance as a force, as a power, imparting to you a holy aptitude to press towards the mark and to be the person you never could be before. It's so much more, grace is, so much more than God's mercy towards your mistakes. It's the divine energy of His love, urging you to press beyond the tendency to settle. Why? You know, God understands. He knows, He understands that you grow weary with conflict. As you struggle against trials, we grow weary of conflict and we become content with short-term gains. And but what God does to keep us from settling where we're at and being content with just the short-term gains, I'm forgiven, I've received the gift, I'm going to bury it in the backyard and just hold on till Jesus comes. You know, many Christians do that and they think, wow, okay, I'm saved, let's not mess it up, we'll just kind of hold right here. But grace does not allow that attitude. Grace instead is God's ever-expanding love pressing its vision inside of us against the confinement that we have imposed ourselves with. Grace drives you back into the race when you want to just be content to settle. Grace never settles. Hallelujah. Grace never is satisfied leaving you where you are. Grace is always urging you to be more, always pressing you forward and supplying the strength to take that next step, to reach for that next goal that Christ has set before you. Can you say amen? Amen. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 3. You'll recognize these verses from verse 13 down to 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I just relax, I just chill out. I just hold on to what I've got so the devil can't take it away from me. Oh, is that wrong? Am I reading from the wrong translation? Oh, that's right. Let me check the Bible. All right, yes. I do not consider myself to have apprehended, but I'm glad I'm saved. No, that's not what he's saying. I haven't apprehended yet, but I'm happy with these short-term gains. I'm in church, I go to prayer, I read my Bible. I've got a little bit of problem. I'm not perfect, but I'm, you know. No, it doesn't say that. Paul said, I do not consider myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to that which is before me, I press. Everyone say press. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Jesus Christ. So he says, the one thing I do is I never stop until I'm like Jesus. I never stop until I'm Christ-like. That's my goal. I suspect that in this life, I'm just never going to stop. I don't think grace is ever going to let me relax. Rest, yes, but relax, no. Let me say it again. I don't think grace will ever let me just stay where I'm at until I am at the prize, the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord if you understand. So grace is not just a one-time fill-up. You get saved, you receive the grace of God, praise the Lord, grace is in my life. Now I'm a child of God and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But grace is designed to refuel you throughout the entire race. Grace is for runners who run the race, not just people who walk around. Many Christians just have a walk, but they don't go anywhere. God has put you in a race. There's a course that is set before you. Jesus ran that course before you. You need to get at his heels, hallelujah, and follow in his steps. And grace will be there constantly refueling, constantly pouring out back into your life. I know sometimes we feel like we've used up the grace of God. How many of you know if you feel like you've used up the grace of God, there's more where that came from? Let me give you an example of the Bible saying what I just said. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Everyone say, more grace. You say, well, I feel like I've just kind of used up that grace and I need more grace. Oh my gosh, I've used up God. I've used up the grace of God. I reached the end of his grace. Honey, you will never reach the end of his grace. Let me tell you that. The Bible says there's more where that came from. In John's Gospel chapter 1, and verse 16, it says, and of his fullness, not his limit, but of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace, or grace upon grace. So of Jesus' fullness you have received, not of his limit, not a portion, but of his fullness. He is the bottomless well, hallelujah, the ever springing up well. That's why I said his spirit would be in you as a river of living water, springing up to everlasting life. It's grace upon grace. So if you find yourself as a Christian in a place in your life where you feel like, you know, I'm flat out, I'm not progressing, I feel like going back for it, I must have just used up the grace. That's not true. There's more grace where that came from. Of his fullness you have received grace upon grace. So there's another layer of grace to come. Reach out and take it. Can you say praise the Lord? Can I also say to you that grace works through vision? Grace works for runners that run a race that are looking at the goal, which is the throne of God. It works through vision. So as long as you fix your eyes upon the throne and run the race, grace will keep flowing. It's when you take your eyes off of the throne of God and you stop living as a runner and you just focus on your walk that grace seems to dry up. If you want grace flowing in your life, get back into the race. Look at the throne of God and begin to live as a runner running to that throne saying, I forget what is behind and I reach ahead to what lies ahead. So grace works through the vision. As long as you fix your eyes on the throne, grace will keep flowing. Amen. Remember the verse that I shared with you. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is at the right hand of the throne of God. So you run with vision. The key to vision, the key to running and not being weary is where your vision is. When you take your eyes off of your goal, you begin to stutter in your step. You begin to slow down. The reason to use up that energy and to keep running begins to evaporate within you. And you begin to just simply stop and say, well, why am I running? I need to rest. My body feels like it needs to rest. My mind needs a rest. The minute the vision begins to break down in your mind, your Christian run, the run of the race, will stop. And you'll just become a churchgoer. And it's at it's in that state of mind that many Christians say, why are we going to church? Or why are we reading this? They can't find a reason to keep doing these things. Only those that run the race to the throne, keeping their eyes on Jesus, on the throne of grace, are the ones that feel the energy pumping within them. I must put my next foot forward. I must take that next stride. And you know what? While they're looking at the throne and taking that step, grace the whole time is filling them. Grace is the energy to keep running the race. But it only flows when you look to the throne, when you look to Jesus. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? So if your vision fades, so too will your energy to run the race. But God's grace always fills you with renewed vision and puts you back into the running. So you need that grace flowing in your life. I don't know how many of you sitting there have thought about the verse in Hebrews 4:16, but if you haven't, I'm going to share it with you. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. First of all, the throne that Jesus sits on is a throne of what? Grace. He sits upon a throne of grace. The law came from Moses. The law was the diagnosis of your sin. The law was a prophet that prophesied your problems. The law was the prophet of condemnation saying you're a loser, you're a sinner. You're a drunkard. You're a whoremonger. You're thinking wrong thoughts. You see, the law pegged your problem. It prophesied your problem. But when Jesus came, he spoke to a bunch of condemned, broken down people who were enslaved by the law, enslaved to condemnation. No energy to run the race. No hope that they could ever attain the throne of God. When Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. He sits upon a throne of grace. Because he knew that at Calvary's cross, he would pay that price that would remove our sin. Sonship would enter into us. The Holy Spirit would enter into us. And God would fill us with a vision. We are his children. He calls us to his throne. Come, children. Come running to Daddy. Hallelujah. Come where you are accepted. This throne is your home. Let me say it again. The Father said, come. This throne is your home. Come running to the throne. This throne of peace, this throne of love, this throne of power, this throne of acceptance, where all abundance flows, that is your home. Come to the throne. And so the Bible says, let us come boldly. Boldly. Where do you get that boldness from? Grace gives you that boldness to say, Abba, Father. Come boldly to the throne of grace so that you can obtain mercy. And I love this. And find grace to help in the time of need. Well, grace to help what? I know the first thing we think of is, well, grace to help with whatever we need. Grace to help in the time of need. But think about it. Maybe your need was initiated by a financial emergency. Maybe your need that drove you to is driving you to the throne of God is initiated by a health problem. Maybe there's a relationship problem or some sort of a stress in your life, a stress perhaps in your marriage or your most intimate relationships. Maybe you're just having a battle, a struggle with the weights that and sins that so easily beset us. Whatever it is that initiated that need in the time of trouble, come boldly to the throne of grace so that you may obtain grace to help. I believe that what grace is there to help you do, regardless of the money trouble, the marital problems, or all those things, grace will handle that. But the most important thing is grace needs to help you get back in the race. That is the answer to every problem, is to get back in the race. Grace for your marriage, get back in the race. Grace for your health problems, get back in the race. The woman with the issue of blood, the 10 lepers. I was reading about the 10 lepers Jesus healed the other day. I don't mean he healed them the other day. I was reading about it the other day. He healed them quite a few years ago. But the 10 of them walked away healed. One of them turned around and came back and kneeled at Jesus and thanked him. And he said, were there not 10 that were healed? And where's the other 9? There's only one come back to give thanks to the Lord. You see, grace brings us to Jesus. Grace brings us back to him. And the Bible says that Jesus said to that leper, go and be made whole. be made whole. My guess is that whatever limbs and parts of their bodies had been eaten off, when they were healed, the Bible is cleansed rather, the leprosy was cleansed away. The leprous activity ceased. But that one that came back, the Bible says, he was made whole, which means whatever fell off grew back. I've driven through groups of lepers in Africa. I've seen them with limbs missing and parts off of them. I've had them pressing and reaching their hands into the windows of the car as we stopped and slowed down and they gathered around us. And it's quite a dramatic picture. And I could just imagine that one that came back to Jesus, and in his amazement as he looked to Jesus and worshiped Jesus, those limbs that had been destroyed and had been taken away grew back. He was restored. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to know that there is grace to help in the time of need. Well, the reason I shared that with you is that whether it's healing, whatever the emergency, whatever the physical condition is that drives you to God, the answer for you, the thing you need, is you need to get back in the race. The answer for every need is get back in the race. You see, grace flows where the race course is laid. The course of your race, God has laid a race before you to pursue the throne of God. And as you run that race, grace will pour down upon you. Grace upon grace. More grace, over and over, consistent grace, continual grace, the power to be more. What is grace? It is the power to function, the power to be more. God's power, in essence, we should say that grace is the love of God at work within you to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. So let us come to the throne of grace. Your focus upon the throne of grace allows Jesus to continuously fill you with the power of his loving grace. As you focus upon the throne of grace, grace is yours. You're racing to that throne. And Paul said, I have not yet gotten to the throne yet. But an amazing, miraculous thing happens to Christians. When you are looking at the throne of God and you're racing to that throne, you know that you're not like Jesus yet. You know that you're not perfect. But Paul says, don't be discouraged. Forget what is behind. Just keep looking to Jesus, because while you are running that race, grace will give you a water bottle. The conditioner of the Holy Spirit, he will run inside of you. He will put strength in your stride. Hallelujah. He'll put hope in you as you look to that prize. Well, let me say it like this. It's like being named in a will and receiving a fortune of billions of dollars. And yet, you have not fully reached the age where you can receive it. Maybe you don't get that inheritance till you're 30 and you're a 20-year-old. What about those 10 years? You're running towards that inheritance. You're not going to get it till you're 30. But that inheritance is yours to use the whole time. You need money? There's a checkbook. You just write money off that. You just write off that account. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, glory to God, it's there. So while we're running for that full inheritance, that inheritance supplies us with everything we need while we run the race. While we run to the throne of grace, grace says, I'm going to treat you as though you've already arrived. I'm going to behave towards you as though you have already attained, although we know that you haven't. Forget what is behind, because I'm going to make the universe respond to you as though you are a fully developed son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That's why Peter, walking through the streets, his shadow could heal the sick. Because grace was flowing through him. Hallelujah. Some people think, oh, no, it's because he was an apostle. That is silly talk. I guarantee you that while he was an apostle, he did foolish things. And there was not demonstrations of power. It was not because of the position he had in the church. It was because of the vision that he had following Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Here's the question for you today. Are you settled somewhere? drifted off the course, just walking around, concentrating on your Christian walk, but you're not in the race. You settled somewhere and you're trying to hold on to what you have attained up till this point. Look at the throne of Jesus this morning. Let His grace put you back into the race. The answer for you, child of God, is to get back into running. Run that race. Run the race to the throne. You may be perfectly happy and satisfied this morning with where you're at. Listen, when Paul said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, that is absolutely true. The reason why people confuse grace as being an attitude of permission to just chill out and just relax is because grace is love talking. And so God never speaks to us in condemning tones because there is no condemnation in Him towards us. When He speaks to us, He always speaks from a place of acceptance and drawing us, wooing us to the throne to be all that we are. And so when we are not in that race, He calls us back into the race because He says, child, there's more. There's more that I want to do through you. There is more that I want to manifest through you. But when He speaks, He doesn't chide. He doesn't say, oh, stupid. Why aren't you running that race? Come on, get with it. Now, your pastor may say stuff like that. Your husband or your wife or your friend may say things like that. You may say things like that. We're hardest on ourselves. But the Holy Spirit does not. Grace does not talk like that. Grace says, child, I love you. There's more. Look to me. See, God knows that when you're not looking at the throne of grace, when you're not running that race, energy has subsided in you and you feel weak. You're spiritually weak. That's why oftentimes people drift off into compromise and they're fighting this battle to, quote, stay saved or hold on to those short gains that they've received. Because the grace is what keeps us running and energized and pursuing Jesus with faith and with confidence. So grace speaks lovingly to us. The answer for you today is look to the throne of grace. God wants to impart more grace to you. There is more battles for you to win. There are more hills for you to conquer. There are more valleys for you to get through. There are more rivers for you to cross. There are more people for you to reach. There are more trials and hindrances for you to defeat and to overcome. There are more demons for you to stomp on. Hallelujah. There is more for you to rule over, and there is a bigger stewardship. Hallelujah. Just like Jabez, grace says to you, lengthen your cords, extend the perimeter of your tent. God wants to increase you. The Bible says, of the increase of His government, there is no end. He is the ever-expanding grace in us today. Close your Bible and stand with me this morning. Here is what our altar call is about today. I want you to examine where you're at this morning and ask yourself, am I stalled out anywhere in my life? And let God speak that word of grace to you and put you back into the race. Can you say praise the Lord? Consider today that God has called you to be a runner. And He wants you to look to the next level. Look up, hallelujah, see His throne, and let grace energize you to run, set those goals before you. Let us close our eyes and ask the Holy Spirit right now, Spirit of the living God, we recognize who You are. You are the grace of Jesus Christ. He never let up. And when it came to the greatest challenge, He kneeled in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, well, I can't lie. I would that this pass from me, but not my will, but Yours. He saw there was one more valley to cross. There was one more fire to pass through. It was that cross. And Jesus did not turn aside from that cross. But the Bible says when he made up his mind, I cannot give up. I'm in a race. I must complete it. I must finish my course. That the Bible says God sent the angels of heaven down. And the Bible says that they ministered to him. And he received some kind of encouragement, some blessing, some anointing. I believe it was more grace. I believe Jesus himself received more grace. Grace upon grace. And the scripture says he got up from that prayer and he marched to the cross of Calvary, where for you and I, he removed the burden of sin to make you a son, to make you a daughter. And now, child of God, you have a race to run. This morning, the Lord is calling you into that race. If there's any place, if there's a cross that you are facing, if there's a place where you have settled and you need to get back in the course, I want you to step out and meet me down in the front of this church today. And I'm asking you to, with your feet, say yes. To step out and say, Lord, as I walk to the front of this church today, I am putting my foot back in the race. I am putting my foot back upon the course that God has called me upon. I am saying, I believe there is more. And I'm voting with my step of faith today to enter into that course to be more of what God has called me to be. Right now, come. Hallelujah.